Hey, what's going on, family? Welcome to the Eugene Hamilton Podcast. I'm your host. Yeah, you got it right, Eugene Hamilton. It's a beautiful day in my neighborhood. How's it going in your neighborhood? I hope you're doing well. Hope that life is treating you as well as it can. I know that sometimes as you look around you, things seem to be dim, things seem to be dark. Things sometimes seem as if they're in place. You know, have you ever had a chance to like be in neutral or kind of just running in place? Yeah, sometimes it feels like you're on a treadmill and just kind of going fast but going nowhere. I get it. I want you to know this, that one day, as you stay in there, as you continue to put your hands to the plow, as they say, things will get better. So thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to share. Once again, I repeat like a broken record, the more you share, the more this message gets out, right? The more you share, there are people that you know that are on your platform that are not on my platform that need to hear what I'm going to share. And I hope it's a benefit and I hope it's a blessing to you and your life as well. Let's go ahead and pray and get started. God, we thank you for a new day, a day that wasn't promised. Thank you for life. Thank you that we can breathe in, breathe out. We thank you so much just for this journey that we're on together. I pray that you would be with us. I pray that you would guide us. You would lead us. Most importantly, I pray that you would speak to us in your name. Amen. One of the things that's important in life as we think about moving forward, right? And I was just talking to my right-hand man, Mateo, and we just talked about the fact that this is episode 43, right? And one of the things that's been happening with each episode is that the goal has been to be as authentic, be as real, and be as relevant as I possibly can with you. But can I be honest, right? After 42 episodes that have been completed, and this is episode number 43, I think it's time for a little bit of a pivot. Right? A little bit of a pivot. And each time in life, as we grow, as we develop, as we get new insight, as we gain more information, as we do deeper research, oftentimes, right, it is interesting that we find ourselves having to pivot to respond to the call. And when I use the terminology call, and for those that have tuned in, that don't know my background. In fact, let me say this right quick, because I've been not so much tiptoeing around it, but I haven't been as forthright as it were with my walk with God. And I am a full-fledged Christian, right? And so once again, it's interesting because, in fact, there's a quote that I want to read to you right quick so I don't get it wrong. It was written by a rabbi. I don't want to butcher his last name, but I think it's Nachmani, right? It says, we do not see things as they are. We see things as we are. Let that sink in for a minute. We rarely see things as they are. We see things as we are. Has anybody ever looked at a glass that was half full? Right? And then you had somebody come along and suggest to you that, hey, that glass isn't half full. That glass is half what? You guessed it right. That glass is half empty. So they're not seeing things as they are, as it were. They're not seeing the thing as it is. They're seeing the thing as they are. And quite possibly they could be half empty. And so everything that they see around them is what? Half empty. So one of the things I want to pivot toward, and that's being a little bit more authentic, more transparent, more, because I believe this. If you grew up in any kind of church, there was a moment in time in church where there was opportunities for people to give testimonies, right? People to kind of share what God has done for them, share sometimes hurdles they've crossed, share sometimes things that they've been struggling with, that they've gotten over. Very rarely, come in closely, have you ever heard someone give a testimony while they're in the struggle? Yeah, we talk about transparency. We talk about authenticity. We talk about being real, but very few people, especially from the background that I have, are forthright in being open and honest, which, let's be honest, which has turned a lot of people off from the Christian walk. Because by and large, individuals are looking for something raw, something real, most importantly, something authentic. So I'm not here, right? I'm not pivoting to making this a Christian podcast. I'm not here to pivot and say, oh, now we're going to preach sermons. But I am here to let you know that even though the things that I share may be everyday things from here on out, right? I want to talk about how can you stand firm in your faith and still work in a secular environment. I want to talk about how you can stand firm in your beliefs, right? And funny thing is, I was down in Hazelhurst, Mississippi. Shout out to Hazelhurst, Mississippi, just about 2 weeks ago. And there's a young man that heard me speak at his assembly gathering. And he kind of raised his hand and he yelled out and he asked, could we quote a scripture or something like that, something along those lines, something dealing with the Bible. And of course, right, there's some guidelines there. And I kind of want to remind him, right, as I'm speaking to him, as I'm talking to him, that oftentimes in life, people don't follow you because you can quote the Bible. They follow you because you live the life you profess to live. Right. Very few people find themselves, no matter what religious system they're a part of. Most times people are attracted to it because of the life that you're living, because you've decided to follow that particular walk of life or that faith walk. So one of the things that's been burdening at me or burning in my soul is the fact that I just turned 45. Right? 2 weeks ago. Well, not even 2 weeks yet. About 8 days ago now. And I'm saying to myself, man, I'm not getting any younger. I am not. In case you thought that somebody, you thought you were Benjamin Button. No, we're all getting old. Older. And one of the things that I wrestled with was, hey, man, you don't have many more years to try to say, oh, I'm gonna get real, raw, and authentic in 10 years or in 15 years or in 20 years. Now is the time. Because I believe, going back to my analogy or reference with regard to being in the faith movement, the church communities, people would oftentimes share testimonies in hopes that somebody else could find strength from what they went through and overcame, right? Oftentimes people would share, right? Oh man, I heard somebody say this. Let me testify. Let me tell somebody about what was done for me or what God did for me, because maybe they can glean something or find something or pull something from my journey that could help them on theirs. But let me tell you this, I go back to childhood and where this all started. And when I say all this all started because I believe it's important to think back to an era where it was not in vogue for people to keep it real. Most of us that grew up in an era, and again, I'm 45, so born in the 80s, born in 80, I should say. So late 80s, early 90s, all through the 90s, I should say. It was not cool. It was not in vogue. It was not a part of the culture for people to be as real as they are today. Now, some stuff that we are being real about ain't helping nobody. Right, I look on Instagram, I look on Facebook, and people just be on there, just putting all stuff out there. Just it's not going to help anybody, right? They're just living their life, right? I'm saying, hey, listen, I came from a culture and a society where it was not cool to be open and honest with what you're struggling with, to be open and honest with your story, to be open and honest with everything that brought you to this point. Why? Because you wanted to look like you were perfect. You wanted to look like, if not perfect, like you had it all together. You wanted to look like, hey, I'm a good church person. And I'm, check, this is the funny thing about it, and I'm eligible to serve. Think about that. Because I checked all the boxes, because I do this, I do that, I do. And that's why you have people who are now more religious than they are relationship driven with Jesus. They follow the code of conduct according to their church manual. They follow the code of conduct according to the tenets of their faith. But if I could be honest with you, I did not truly know who God was and his son in my life until well after I had left that structured environment where I had to, you know, go to church this many times a week, had to say this many prayers. I did not get to a place where I truly understood what the depth of my connection with God ought to be until I had the freedom not to follow those precepts. So here it is. Born in Louisiana, as you know, I grew up in a household that looked good on paper if you didn't ask any questions. Right? It's almost like you go by a car lot and you maybe see a nice clean car on the parking lot. There's a sticker in the window that's for sale. The tires are shiny. But if you ask about what's under that hood, you'll walk away. You'd be like, oh, nah, that thing looked good on the outside. But you pop that hood, you're going to find out all kinds of challenges under that hood. That's kind of how. And most, I'm not, this, my family wasn't different than anybody else's family, right? I mean, people just know how to camouflage it and cover it up in different ways, right? And so growing up in a household where there was not a lot of communication, there was not a lot of opportunities to share, to be authentic, to be real about feelings, to be real about, in fact, last night, my son said something, I can't even remember exactly what he said, but my wife had invited him to kind of share his feelings. And the way he said it, I don't want to say it triggered me, but it took me back. And I immediately told him that was inappropriate. Now, my wife and I, you know, come from similar backgrounds where, you know, a child stayed in the child's place. You really couldn't express your feelings. You really couldn't. Or if you did, you were in trouble. And I understand being respectful with expressing your feelings, which is what we're teaching our son now. Hey, you can express your feelings. You can express how something has rubbed you, if it rubs you the wrong way. But be careful how you do it. Please be respectful, as we're aiming to be respectful of you and towards you as well. But in my household, there was no cultivating ground for. There's no ground to cultivate feelings and authenticity. Everything was black and white. And I think about this in terms of going back to my service as a pastor for 17 years. Most of the organizations that I work with, for churches alike, they were more interested in the harvest, than they were in the growth and irrigation process. Hear me out. They were more interested in making sure something grew up beautifully. It got to the place where we can go pluck the fruit. The fruit is ready. We did the right things. Nobody saw it. We did the right things at the right place, at the right time, the right sunlight, this, that, the other. And nobody was really concerned with finding out how to help that healthy tree, that healthy fruit, that healthy vegetable. How did it get there? And oftentimes we find that people who are healthy, like emotionally, spiritually, physically, all the things.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
They've had an opportunity to grow, to develop, to have dead leaves plucked off the plant, to have the correct fertilizer put on the plant. If it found out that the roots were growing too deep, it was repotted. People took careful attention, careful detail, if they know how. Now I will say this, because there's a principle in the Bible, in the book of Acts, right? That talks about the reality that what I have, I give to you, right? So in other words, if you walk by me right now and you ask me for $100, my response right here in this moment would be, hey, I got 20. And you can look at me and say, you know what? That'll help me on my journey. I can go ask four more people and they may have 20 and get me to $100. But if I tell you I don't have 100 and I have 20, what I have, I can give to you. But what I don't have, I can't produce. There are people who have raised young people, who have raised children, who have raised families, who were not emotionally healthy, and all they gave us was what they had. So I'm not here to blame anybody for anything with regard to how it is that I grew up, because, again, what I have, I give to you. If I don't know anything about praying with my family, I probably won't pray with my family, because what I have, I give to you. If I know nothing about making sure my family is protected, making sure that they get to counseling and therapy and all this stuff, if that's not something that is inside of me that I have, I can't give that to you. And one of the things that happened as I grew up in that environment that transferred to adulthood, where you only live to please the people around you whose opinions matter. You only live, right, to appease the people who put food on your table, who can give you an applause, who can give you the nod and say, oh, that's great, that's cool, that's good, I like that, I approve of that. So think about growing up in that environment, transferring now to where I'm leading a congregation. And for what it's worth, my goal was simply, because of how I was bred and trained to think, to make sure I checked the boxes, to make sure the people approved of what I did. And that in turn caused me to think that I had to talk a certain way, dress a certain way, be a certain way, and do things the way that they wanted me to do them. Remember the first time I ever got into the pulpit, right, to deliver a message, and I didn't have a necktie on. I mean, I understand customs. I understand traditions. I get it. I'm not here to have that conversation with you. We can have that conversation later on, but today I'm not here to have that conversation with you. But can you imagine the size and the disappointment of especially the older members who somehow believed that the message that I was delivering would have been better had I had a necktie on, right? And then you go back to the Bible. Again, I'm not here to go tit for tat, but I never saw in the Bible where Jesus talked about having to wear a necktie. And I get it. Neckties probably weren't available during his time. I understand customs. I understand times. I understand what's appropriate for certain settings. I get it. I'm not dying on that hill. But what I am saying is, and let me also say this, I do understand modesty. I understand that there's a tenet. There are principles in the Bible with regard to dress and presentation. But it's almost like this. And this is what I tell people all the time. And those of you who may be listening right now who have your mind made up about this, just hear what I'm saying. Because again, I came from a tradition, a church tradition, that did not give you room to run around in the yard. Let me break it down to soundbite. I believe that the Bible has a fence, right? You got all this yard to run around in. And if those of you who read the Bible, who can journey back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve were in this perfect garden, in this perfect environment, serving a perfect God, and God gave them the freedom to choose. You can have all this stuff in this garden. All these trees are available to you. Everything in this garden is yours, but this one tree, yeah, don't touch it. I think of the Christian journey, right? As such, we got this big old yard where we can run around in, we can have fun. But once you jump that fence, it's kind of like you're on your own, right? Like there's stuff to protect you as long as you stay within the fence. But if you decide to jump that fence, growing up, we had few dogs, right? The most memorable dog that we had was the dog I got for my fifth birthday, I think it was fifth or sixth birthday, a dog named Duke, right? Very creative, Duke. But nonetheless, Duke, man, we built the fence around the house. Prior to Duke, I mean, it was free reign. We had a canal in the backyard. We would run down to the canal and pick up all kind of rodents and turtles. It was just the wild, wild west down south, right? But once we built that fence, because we were protecting Duke, who didn't know better. Like, I knew better than to jump down to that canal. I was given instruction, go down to that canal, do not jump in, don't get in the water, don't do all that stuff that would put your life in danger. But Duke didn't have sense not to do that. So the fence was built. Duke, you can run all around the yard. There's food. There's water. There's a dog house. I mean, we're so creative. He had a light inside of his house, right? But Duke was always trying to jump outside the fence. Always. I mean, he was always trying to dig a hole. I mean, we put up I don't know what you call it, the proper name for it, where it kind of like gives a light little shock and the dog runs back so he doesn't try to dig anymore. I see the Christian journey that way. Run around this yard as much as you want. Have fun. Enjoy growth and development. Right? You can argue about neckties if you want to, but that ain't really... yeah, okay. It ain't that big of a deal. If you jump outside that fence, right, and try to do things on your own and make up rules and make up stuff on, then you're on your own. So to think about that foundation and me taking, in fact, this is my podcast. This is the Eugene Hamilton podcast. Even sometimes the way that I deliver what I have to say to you, in the back of my head, I'm thinking about the members at the former churches that I pastored, or former members at churches that I used to pastor. In my mind, I'm thinking to myself, oh, I have to speak a certain way. And I'm like, I'm on a podcast. I don't have to sound like I'm preaching, right? And that's a whole other thing, because there are people who have, you know, preacher voices. And I think I heard one guy just talk about how people are more attracted to the real you than the one that you put up front. You're like, oh, man, you think people want to hear a certain kind of diction or a certain kind of this, and you ain't got to be all that. So as we pivot together, I'm inviting you, right, to email me, to leave comments about topics that you're struggling with, topics that you maybe want to hear more about, right? I, for 42 episodes, I've been kind of giving you stuff that I think that you want to hear. right? In fact, I've been giving you stuff that I half want to do and half of it God has said do. It's never been all the way what God told me to do, right? If I be quite honest with you, I'll be straight up honest with you, it's been some of what I want to do and some of what he wants me to do. I want to do everything that God has called me to do. And I think that a part of that is helping you on your journey, giving you some insights of my journey, and together, all of us, learn how to go, how to grow, and how to glow. That's why we the Grow Squad. We are the Grow Squad, right? And if you have not subscribed, I'm inviting you to be a part of the Grow Squad. In fact, I've got some cool merch that I'm getting redesigned right now for this new pivot, right? I know we've got our regular signature stuff that we've been rocking, but we're gonna turn the corner, man. And for those of you that are looking for something that may be a little different that will help you on your walk, help you on your journey, help you dig deep, some stuff that's real, some stuff that's raw, some stuff that may trigger you, right? We're pivoting in that direction. And I gave you all that context just now in terms of my upbringing, in terms of my line of work, in terms of my lens, to help you understand that I understand what you're going through. I understand that it's a struggle to be the real you. Yeah. I get it. I understand that you've grown up all your life. Some of you are adults now. Some of you are married now, and you are the person that you think the other person wants. You've not been the real you. And I believe that the Bible that I read says whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's not real freedom, right? So I want us to pivot together, to get deeper. In fact, the next episode, I'm probably going to blow your socks off the next episode. Yeah. I got some stuff I want to share with you that's been on my heart that I truly believe. Because think about it. Growth hurts. We're the Grow Squad. And as we grow, there's some growing pains. There's a little boy in my son's class who'd been crying for the past few days. And, you know, we noticed him and we inquired about, and I say we, my wife and I, we typically try to drop my son off together. That's a whole nother story. But anyway, the teacher said, oh, I think he's complaining about his knees and so forth. I think he's going through a growth spurt. Now, when the growth spurt is over, right, the pain will subside. But while he's growing, as his joints and his tendons are stretching, that hurts. And as we seek to grow, right, as we seek to grow deeper in our connection, our relationships, in everything that we are about in life, some of this stuff is going to hurt. Yeah, I've been giving you a lot of motivation, inspiration. I've been pumping you up, and I'm still going to do that stuff. But doing this pivot, man, some of this stuff is going to hurt you, and it's sure enough going to hurt me. It probably hurt me before it hurt you. That's why I'm giving it to you, because I know after the hurt comes the sunshine. As roots take root, right, in the ground, right, the grabbing hold of the soil. Think about that as tendon stretching and getting to a place where as we lock in and take hold of that solid foundation, it may not feel good initially, but it'd be good for us in the long run. So hope you stay locked in. I hope you spread the word near and far that the ride just got a little bit more exciting. And thank you for rocking with me this far. And I promise you, we're going further as together we go, grow, and glow. Listen, if you haven't gotten my new children's book, I invite you to visit eugenejhamilton.org. Hit that new children's book link in the menu section. Order a copy for yourself, for them kids, right? Because, again, there's no age limit. We want them to go to grow and to glow. Until next time, y'all take care. Peace.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.